God, we just want to say so deeply, we want to say and express to you thank you for all that you do for us. You're so merciful. You're so good. And Father, we again say thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to come into this place of corporate worship and to be able to express our heart gratitude towards you, Father. God, we look around, many of us, and can even reflect upon this past week. And there's no doubt that we serve a risen Savior. No doubt that you're in our lives, that you're activated in our lives. Father, we want to say thank you. God, there are some that are even here amongst us today, Lord, that through your providential hand, you've given them even a second chance. We thank you. Father, we want to say thank you, Father, for, again, your mercy. Thank you that it endureth forever. God, it is truly our heart's desire, just as that deer pants for the water, God. Lord, that we would long for you, that we would desire you to just fill this place. Help us, Lord, as we begin to enter into this time of worship again, that your presence would be felt amongst us, God. Father, we're praying, Father, for the lost soul that may be amongst us, that may not know you as Savior and Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. God, may you draw that heart unto yourself as only you can. Father, not only do we pray for that soul, but God, for the one that's wandered away from you. God, we pray, Lord, we pray that as the prodigal story shares with us, that they'll return home. And God, I know you'll have a celebration with them. Please draw them back. Father, for those of us that are in the category of just simply celebrating you, help us to do that with all of our heart, soul, and mind right now. We look forward to this moment. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We also are going to give a chance for those that want to go back and be with Pastor Chad. You're welcome to go back. I happened to go in, as some of you know, to different Sunday school classes. And I went into Brother Jason Chandler's Sunday school class, and he was evaluating his class attendance there. And as he kind of took a moment of evaluation, he looked at his wife, Miss Lynn, and he says, "Where are our students?" Or she asked the question, "Where's our students?" And he says, "I don't know." He goes, "It's a possibility that they're on the Super Saturday hangover or such." I don't know about the rest of y'all, but some of you that know what we're talking about in regards to Super Saturday, that's where baseball is taking place in Lafayette County all day long. Well, for those of us that didn't wear a hat and have a little bit of baldness, turns out that we are red there, you know, and that type of thing. But I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for coming and being a part with us as we have an opportunity to be able to enjoy life together in Christ. And as we do, I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans chapter 14. And we want to talk about receiving one another. Receiving one another. Again, that is Romans chapter 14. Oftentimes, when we go to write out a sermon, we kind of have to have within our minds, those of us that are pastors, who is our target group? Who are we speaking to? Well, I want to kind of begin to say to you that the power of the Holy Spirit can speak to everyone in this group. All right? But on the context of the pastor preaching to you, I'm talking to that of the believer today. I want to speak to you about what it means to receive one another in Christ Jesus. And so in doing so, again, we're looking there in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to begin our reading there in verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1. Now, except the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. One man has faith, and he that may eat all things, but he who is weak eat vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard and content him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? to his own master, he stands or falls, and stands he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another, another regarding every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both to the dead and the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us shall give account to himself to God. This attitude that we ought to have here is this understanding of what we ought to do in way of interaction with that of believers. As we begin to look at this and setting the stage, one of the things that we begin to see is this concept that Paul had as he was speaking to that of the Roman church. We notice that what he is saying to them is there are some that will worship God a little different than the way you worship God. But does that make them wrong? No. I want to speak to this end here as to how serious this is in my mind about those that are in Christ Jesus. Let me share with you some base principles that we need to understand fully. Number one, we need to understand fully that it is faith alone, through grace alone, through Jesus Christ alone. He is the way of salvation. The Bible shares with us this concept. I want us to truly pick this up. I want us to understand that our God, through His sovereign wisdom, He chose Jesus to pave the way of salvation. It was through Him, that is His Son, that He made a way for each and every one of us. The Bible shares with us there is a way. There is a truth. And so what we need to claim to through that of John 14, 1, is to understand the reality that He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible shares with us clearly that there is no other way in which to get to heaven except by and through Jesus Christ. So as we understand that and we confirm that within our hearts and our minds, I want to say to every group that is out there, every person that is out there, I want us to understand that they may have different ways or different outlooks on some portions of the Scripture. But for salvation purposes, there's only one way to get to heaven. That is through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we begin to approach these coming days, and we begin to have an observance of that of the resurrection of Jesus Christ through Easter. For those of us that are in this group, the truth of the matter is this is an exciting time. It is an exciting season because we understand because He defeated the grave, He defeated death, and He defeated all of Satan and all the principalities of this air. I want you to know through Him, we, the believers, have victory. Ooh, whoo. Boy, this is getting me excited already. And that's just my introduction. As we look on to the text, I want you to notice there, as we begin to break it open, that God receives them. Listen to me. We, the people, cannot reject those who are through the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me? We need to be with the mindset of Christ and accept those who are through the blood of Jesus. White or black, are y'all with me? Yellow. The children sang about them. What was it? Yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in His sight. For those that are found in Christ Jesus, I want you to know that they have made a way through Christ to be in heaven. We're going to spend eternity with them. God receives them. As we look to the text, we notice it says, now accepting the one who is weak in the faith. You know who He's talking to? For those that are stronger in the faith, for those that begin to understand the deeper truths of the Word of God, the Bible instructs those that are strong in the faith to accept those that might be weaker in the faith, to begin to help them develop and to grow. The truth is, as we look on, we notice it says those that are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on His opinions. As we look to this, we need to understand that we all have an opinion. I didn't hear an amen, but I will say this. It's a fact. It's a fact. Everyone in this group has an opinion. And in fact, I'll go on to share with you, those of us that study this word together in small groups, the truth is every one of us can look at that particular text and we can begin to break it down. And as many that is in that group will have an opinion as to what that text means. But I want you to understand something. All the opinions in the world, there's only but one truth. The truth that is in Christ. I want to say something to you. Listen to this. The truth, according to the text, will set you free. That's what we're looking for, is the truth that will set you free. There are some that are in this group today who are truly seekers. They're looking for something. They're looking for someone to help them. I want to say to you that I have found mine. My salvation is through Christ Jesus alone. And I want you to know that there are many people, I heard this once said, there are many people that are running away from something. Very few that are running towards something. I want to say to you that according to the text, there's two ways that we could go. There's one gate, one opening that is broad and wide open. And many, according to the word, will go in that broad gate. And through that, it leads to death and destruction. But there is a narrow gate. There is a narrow opening. When we done the funeral just the other day, we was walking towards the cemetery, and the director made the comment to me. He says, "Pastor, help me lead them to the broad gate." I said, only in this instance. Because everywhere else in the Scripture, we want to make sure we go through the narrow gate. We want to make it to that ultimate end. We want to come to that place where we understand salvation full and free. We look on, according to the text, it goes on to say that we need to be careful with our passing of judgment. Because what we need to understand is that the judgment, it belongs to God. Listen again. The judgment, it belongs to God. Now let me say, some of you say, well, we understand the text where it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And you're correct in saying that text and quoting that text, but don't misuse that text. We the believers, we do have the right to be, if I may say, fruit inspectors. We can evaluate the life of our brothers and sisters in Christ and make sure that they are producing the fruit that is in the light of Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity to do that. But what we don't have opportunity to do is to be the judge of people. There's only one judge. And by the way, every soul will stand before him. Everybody will stand before him. We oftentimes want to take the vengeance into our own hands. Oftentimes we want to take it upon ourselves to discipline or to work it out. But I want to submit to you that you have no right to do that. The only right you have is to pray for those who persecute you or harm you, to do good to them. This is hard living. But they will stand, just as you will stand, before the righteous judge. I submitted this to you before, I'll say it once again. I praise God that I'm not the judge. Now, I want to tell you, when you begin to break that down in your own mind, we would not be fair about it. I laugh about that of the reading sometime of David, King David. You remember when it was him that was up before God, he said, God, show mercy, right? When it was his enemies, what would he say? Right? Not only kill them, but kill them graveyard dead. Then on top of that, make sure the judgment falls. Aren't you glad that King David's not your judge? But that King Jesus is? Amen. I want to tell you something. I want to live in this category, grace alone. Amen. Thank you. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than, help me, all our sins. Amen. All our sins. I want to say to you that it is through the blood of Christ that covers us, amen, and that we have the grace. I want to tell you something. We talk about there's shouting time in heaven. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, when I think about the mercy and the grace of God upon my life, even here on this earth, what? How much more will be demonstrated as I hit that shore of heaven? I believe there will be shouting time. In fact, according to the Word of God, it says it will be so loud it will sound like roar thunder. Ooh, I'm getting holy chills up here, friends. I'm going to tell you. I remember one particular time I was instructing the football team of Madison County about this concept of what it was going to be like, the praise of God. And we was in this block building, block locker room. And when we was in that block locker room, I asked them, I said, on the locker, I'd like for you to just take and do a little of a steady rhythm. I said, all I want you to do is hit 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, like that. And I started one at the very first locker, and you hit that, and you could hear it just rattling and shaking through the locker room a little bit, that one beat. Then I pointed to the next one, and he began to beat. Then I pointed to the next one and he began to beat. And then as we begin to go all around that room where there's 60 some odd boys that are beating that locker room and it enclosed, and all of a sudden the loudness of that beating, and then it began to just roar. It began to roar and began to roar. And once it did, I then come back to him and I started pointing one to one to let it go, let it go, let it go all the way back around. And then it was just that one guy. And then I pointed to him and he let it go. Then I started it one more time around. And them boys, they could feel it. I could sense it. They could feel the chills go up and down their back as they could hear what I meant about the roar of praise to our God in heaven. And friends, I think to myself, that illustration's poor in comparison what it'll be when we stand, or better yet, kneel at the foot of the cross. Man, my goodness, this is good. God receives them. We look on. Not only does God receive them, as we look on, He says, but the Lord sustains each believer. Look on with me. He talks about that. Verse 4 says, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. Let me go on. And he who stands will, for the Lord is able to what? To make him stand. Friends, I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you where I am. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you would give me the strength to help me stand. I can tell you, friend, I'm weak in and of myself. And I can only go so far. But you know what he said to us according to the word of God. He says, I send you a helper. I send you a comforter. Are you with me? And this same comforter was the same one that raised Jesus up. Amen. I want you to know that same dunamis power according to the word. I want you to know that same great power resides in you and I for those that believe in Jesus Christ. And I think about, you remember Moses, as we illustrate this thought, he said, as he had his hands up, the army was winning, you remember? But he began to get weak. Why? Because he's just a frail man. And his arms began to fall. But his brothers came up and they held his hands high. And as long as his hands were being held, the victory was happening. Friends, I want you to know, according to the word of God, he says that we have a friend that is closer than a brother. One that will come and help you stand in the midst of the victory. He, that is God, is a sustainer. For those of you that have been with me on Wednesday night, by the way, we have church on Wednesday night for those that don't know. Those of you that have been with me on Wednesday night, what I want to say to you is this. I'm coming to a place in my mind, the older I get, the more it's all about Him and the less that it's about me. It's not about what can I do, but rather what can He do through me. Friends, I want you to understand, I'm picking this up. Coach Carl, I'm picking this up. And when what I'm catching hold to is I understand how weak and frail I really truly am. And in my frailty, I want you to know, and in my weakness, I want you to know I've got to have help. And what I'm grateful for is that our God, He is there and He will give us the help. He sustains us. He keeps us going in the midst of it. Friends, I want you to know, you don't got to cast the judgment on anybody that is around us. You don't have to cast judgment on anybody around us. Because if God saved them, I want you to know He's got the power to keep them going. Amen? To run the race, right? To fight. Paul says, not as though to beat against the air, as if we're swinging empty-handed here. We're not landing any punches. I want you to know when we keep control within our body in Christ Jesus, He will help us to keep up the good fight, to finish the course. Do you know that the work that He has started in each and every one of us, that He is faithful and just to complete it? He is the one that will do that. Some of you may be here today, and the truth of the matter is you've been on the journey and you're weak. Back when I used to lift the little weights, way back when, Brother Steve, I remember doing those squats. Y'all, if anybody's ever done this with me, you know what I'm talking about. You go to doing squats. All of a sudden, you finally rack that weight. And all that weight that you just had on your legs go to wobbling. You get them trembles. I ain't going to talk to you, Jose. But anyways, Jose tried to work me out like that. Jose was wanting to talk after a workout recently. And I was trying to be preachery, you know what I mean? Laying up on the wall like that right there. And I was trying to speak to him, my legs sitting there laying like that right there. And he's steady talking. Finally, I just got rude. I thought to myself, if I don't get in there and get my back, see, I'm calculating. I got enough strength to go bathed and get to the recliner before these things collapse. So without saying any more, I just looked at Jose and went, bye. And I'm, some of y'all get jelly-legged. You need some help. My wife, she did me this way one time. I was working out chest. Went to get up off the bed, and she reached out there and touched me right there, like that. She goes, get up now. Get up now, big boy. Get up now. Sometimes we go so strong, so hard, that we get to a point where we're so weak that one finger will hold us back. But through the power of God, we can keep on going. Let's let Him be the sustainer to give us the strength to keep on going. Not only is the Lord the sustainer for each believer, but I want to say to you, the Lord is sovereign to each believer. Look on in verse 5, it says, one man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Y'all know what he's talking about. Some want to stay within that of the Sabbath. Some understand that the resurrection may have a new meaning for us. And so they might go with that of the next day. But he goes on to say this, let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, this may be a poor commentary on what I'm about to say. So we have a couple of pastors around here. Y'all bear with me. Some of y'all studious people. All right. But as I look to this particular text, and it says, let him be convinced in his own mind. I don't know if God don't think the way Brother Gainey thinks. Does that just scare everybody in here? Probably, he probably don't think like I think. Matter of fact, what he says is, your ways ain't my ways. So some of y'all can rest easy. That's the word of God. All right? But I don't know if he, you know, in my own mind, I don't know if he says it this way. You know, when somebody's working for you, you almost kind of feel this way. As long as he's given everything he's got, even when he messes up, we can redirect it. Y'all know, some of y'all going to get nervous when I say this. Do y'all know, when I was younger, I started my ministry 21 years ago, 19 years old. Some of y'all not going to believe this, but some of the messages I preach might not have been theologically accurate. In fact, when I started preaching, I still was in college. Didn't even know some of them words. Still struggling with a few of them. But isn't it amazing that, oh God, I love Him now. I could see Him up there talking Father God to Father the Son, right? Father to the Son going, look at Gainey. Did you just hear what he said? Well, we got to deal with him. I picked him. I tell you what, though, next time he's doing his devotion, will you thump him in the head? I got him, Lord. Don't worry about it. That's the Holy Spirit saying to the Father, I got him, Lord. And I'm up there studying one day, and then all of a sudden they go, y'all, anybody ever do this? Oh! Oh, that's what it means. Anybody want to praise God with me right here? Amen. I wonder if that working out your salvation in fear and trembling has a little bit to do with some of that. Letting Him begin to enlighten your mind. By the way, I'm saved to the uttermost. I believe if I drop dead right now, I'm going to heaven. It's happening. To be absent from the body, this is the promise of the Word. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe it now. I believe it. Now, with that being said, If I get up there, and I believe judgment's for everybody, it's going to happen. Can y'all see me getting, I believe Ronnie Milton, I didn't mean to say his name. I believe he put it this way for me. He said, if you happen to go and I'm before you, you might want to start off on one leg. Because when God gets to going, you know, you might be there a little bit. So just what happened, when your leg goes numb, it goes just kind of swap to the other. I hate to know who's behind me, you know. But I think God's pretty sufficient, right, and proficient. So he probably will be clicking us on through there. But as we go on, I want us to understand that our God is a sovereign God to each believer. Going on in verse 6, it says, and he who observes one day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does it so for the Lord, for he who gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. Are you with me so far? We're trying to do this for God. We're going to sell out. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. How many of you are truly in this category where you're trying to do it right? Believer, you with me? I can't claim that everything I'm doing is right. What I can claim, though, is I'm trying to do it right. Y'all know that there's a stricter judgment for those that are in the leadership positions. You know what happens with me? I lay down at night going after, y'all with me? Processing again. Did I preach that and lay that out like it was supposed to be, Lord? And if I did, this blows my mind how this works. There are some times I get finished preaching and I kind of walk with this little bit of pride comes before the fall. I kind of walk up there going, you're welcome. And I hear crickets chirp. Nobody moves. Nothing happens. Then there's those moments where I think to myself, I walk up there and I go, God, I'm sorry. Whoosh! One thing to say, Lord, on Brother Ganey's end and in front of all these people here, I will give you my best, and I'm trying. But our sovereign God, he will orchestrate this for us. Do you know what he says? All things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Going to the end here, I want to end with this thought. The Lord alone. Help me by saying the Lord alone. The Lord alone. The Lord alone will judge every believer. You don't have to cast it. God's got it. By the way, for those that don't understand this, our God's a very big boy God. Are y'all with me? He don't need your help. Now, when he directs you or asks you for it, I'd submit to it. But he don't need you. Are y'all with? That's part of the get to theory that we're going with. We get to. Amen. But for us that have this mentality, not out of an humble spirit, here I am, send me. But we have this haughty thought of, here I am, send me. Can't you just know God's going, sit down. Sit down. Verse 10 says it this way. Remember what it says. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. Do you see, that's kind of a confident statement, isn't it? As I live. You know, I don't know that God's one of these that doesn't understand this concept of letting your yes mean yes and your no's mean no. I kind of think he's a man of his word, a God of his word. Amen? Amen? He is a God of his word. Everything that's written will come to pass. It'll lay out just like He said it will. He is a God of His Word. And He says, as I live, because He lives. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Now, I want to tell you where I'm at. That's going to happen. I get this understanding of submission. Both my oldest brother and my baby brother's bigger than me. I'm fitting to tell y'all a secret. My baby brother is now 6 foot, or in his words, 5'12". Some of y'all have seen my oldest brother. He a little bulked up. Both of them lift weights pretty heavy. But old Justin, I hope he ain't listening to this on the podcast right now. I'm finna let y'all know. Old Justin, being bigger than us, he'd sometimes grab hold of me. I could only hold that for such a long time. Y'all with me? When he pinches me up, I'm pinched. I need a little help. So that's when Uncle Jeff comes into play. Uncle Jeff is what you call the equalizer. He comes and knocks him off of me. Helps me to get better grips. You know. Sometimes he even takes it over because he's done ticked him off, you know what I mean? And then he goes after him. Justin, that is, goes after my big brother. I like it when that happens. Because Jeff can hold his own for a good little bit. But when I notice that Justin's going to get the best, now some of y'all might call this cheating, but I do what they call rib shots. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He might be grabbing hold of old Jeff, and I'll just come up there, bam, right up in the mirror. When it does, you can't help but to go, are y'all with me? When you do like that, what happens is that right hand frees up a little bit, giving Jeff the advantage. We keep going. What I'm getting at is, we're either going to get him to a point where he submits, or he taps out and goes. Are y'all with me? Now, let me say this to you. I've been in the category where I've submitted. You the baddest, you uncle, y'all get me? See, some of you female might not know this, and then again, you might. But see, this is where we play. That's how we done it. I want to ask you this. Before God gets you in a hold that's going to hurt you, how about go ahead and call Him Lord? You're going to do it. Some of you that might be sitting here today and you're not a believer, you might be thinking, nah. Now let me, on the authority of God's Word, you're going to bow and you're going to confess. That's going to happen. I can tell you what I know is right. I know it to be right because I've lived it. Your better option is to go ahead and submit. Go ahead and submit to the authority of God. Whether you're living in a life of sin and you need to submit and confess, submit. Whether you're not saved here today and you need to submit, submit. What is God speaking to your heart about right now? As I go to pray, I want you to pray. And just simply ask this question. God, what do you want me to take away from this message today? And how can I apply it to my life? And when He gives you the answer, submit. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you again for your message. We trust you, Lord, with it. We ask that you would help us to truly submit, to submit, to submit. God, may we absolutely cave in to you, give in to you. For God, what we realize is whether here or whether in heaven, we know that we will call you Lord. So Lord, may we live a freedom, a joy in you today. And Lord, may we accept you today. For today is the day of salvation. May you draw that heart unto yourself. We're looking forward, God. We're looking forward to your Spirit moving. Help us to respond in faithful obedience. We give this over to you. We submit this over to you, this service. God, I've done all I know to do. We trust you. In Jesus' name.